Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This episode of the Kindness Podcast is brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Hey, it's Nicole Phillips kicking off season 5 of the Kindness Podcast. I am so excited. We have got a whole new format for the show. We've got a sponsor. I mean, come on. We're big time. Yeah. Well, this very first episode, you are going to learn more about me. I hope you're okay with that. I'm going to share a story, also one of my very favorite stories, about the time I won a car on The Price is Right. And stick around because you're even going to hear Drew Carey's voice because I've got some clips of the show. Okay, first though, I'd love to tell you my story. Today we are talking with me. Yeah, that's right. You're going to get me. We are celebrating season 5, episode 1. And so we have a new partner. Instead of WOUB, we are now partnering with Northwestern Media. So that's really exciting. WOUB has been so good to us for so long, but as some of you know, I have a couple of passions. One of them is kindness, and another one of them is Jesus. And so since WOUB was under the umbrella of NPR, we had to be a little careful about how we talk about Jesus. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to be able to talk to you about what was really on my heart and allow the guests to be able to talk about what was really on their hearts as well. And so that is why we have teamed up with Northwestern Media. A little background on me for any new people joining. I write and I speak. I'm the author of 5 books. If you're looking for a book to read, read The Negativity Remedy, Unlocking More Joy, Less Stress, and Better Relationships Through Kindness. That's really my baby. I have books called Kindness is Contagious and Kindness is Courageous, and those two are 100 stories each to remind people of the wonderful stories of kindness happening in our world. And so I love those books, but I'm telling you what, The Negativity Remedy is kind of like my, I don't know, how-to guide, I suppose, for myself to remember how to be kind and hopefully give readers some tips, too, to implement kindness in their lives, especially in their thoughts. So check that one out if you want to. I grew up in a little town called Reedsburg, Wisconsin. And I'll tell you, I am married to a guy who also grew up in a little town called Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Saul Phillips is my husband. He's the men's head basketball coach at Northern State University. We live in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and we have 3 kids. Jordan, who is a senior, Charlie is a sophomore, and Ben is a 6th grader. And we also have a 70-pound golden doodle, appropriately named Dakota, since we live in South Dakota. But I want to tell you a little bit about what life was like growing up, because I think it really sets the stage for how powerful kindness can be. And what that looked like for me was I lived in this little town of 5,000 in Wisconsin. And, you know, everything was very normal up through 3rd grade. You know, I had a mom and a dad and a brother and a sister, and we lived on a little farmette, and it was really ideal. When I was in 3rd grade, my mom, who really is a brilliant woman, wanted to go back to work. And her background was in teaching, and she's really, really good with languages, French and Spanish. But she got a job, a really well-paying job, at a men's prison about 45 minutes away from our home. And long story short, my mom fell in love with a prison inmate. So she and my father got divorced. And every other Saturday when I was with her during the joint custody, she and I would go and visit her boyfriend in the prison, who then became her husband. Now, it's interesting because as, I don't know, an adult, I can look back and think, whoa, like that's a little weird. you know, why would you take your daughter into a men's prison? But the thing about it is, at the time, I really wanted to go. I thought it was really cool to get to do something and go somewhere that none of my friends got to do. And it just, looking back, reminds me of the importance of perspective, because sometimes we put our own insecurities and our own beliefs onto other people. And so, you know, other people might have thought, oh, poor little girl had to go. And at the time, I really was excited about going. It was really neat to go through all the different levels of security. And, you know, they used the wand and they used the archway you walk through. And, you know, all those things are really normal at airport security, but they weren't back in 1985. It was all cutting edge technology. And the coolest thing about the whole place was I would walk up to these glass doors and there would be like a click, and magically, without anyone opening them, the glass doors would open. And we would walk down this long, long hallway, and then we'd come to another set of doors and click, and then they'd open. And then they would magically close behind us and then click again. And I was probably, I don't know, 35 before I realized the clicks were actually the doors unlocking to let us in and then locking us back into the facility. And, you know, again, if you've ever been to like Walmart, you have seen the magically sliding doors. But at the time, again, that was not commonplace. It was really, really cool. So there were a lot of interesting things that I got to experience because of that experience. And it wasn't until I was in about eighth grade that it became not awesome. So, you know, I went through it. I was the flower girl for the first time in my mom's prison chapel wedding when I was in fifth grade. And, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade, I became more interested in, you know, tween things and boys and all that stuff. And in eighth grade, my mom's husband was getting out of prison. And my dad was concerned about what that would mean for joint custody and overnight stays and things like that. And he was scared. And so he made the decision to move 2.5 hours away to Appleton, Wisconsin. And that is where I did my junior high and high school. I didn't make the transition super well, I'll be honest with you. When I was in eighth grade, I tried to commit suicide. And I honestly don't know what it was that saved me in that moment, except, you know, I'm assuming it was the hand of God. God saying, no, I've got different plans for you. And, you know, I don't know why God would intervene in that moment for me when he doesn't always intervene. But there was something about that failed attempt, because that's what I felt like it was at the time, a failure. I failed. That really reset something in my mind. And I basically felt like, you know what? I don't have the support of the adults in my life the way I wish I did. And so I'm going to do what I can to create the life I want to live. And so I went on and I had a successful high school career, went on to college and graduated with a degree in broadcast journalism. The year after I graduated from college, I became Miss Wisconsin. Spent the year touring the state talking about crisis in people's lives and in kids' lives especially, and how to deal with these crises that we have, whether that's divorce or moving or, you know, a lot of the things that I had experienced in my life, I got to share. And so after that, I got a job working as a television anchor in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I reacquainted with Saul, that's my husband, who I still like had this crush on. I hadn't seen him in 8 years, you know, because we moved away from Reedsburg and then there's no social media. So I couldn't stalk him on Facebook and find out if he was married or what was going on. But when we were about 24, I reached out to him and He came to visit me. He was living 7 hours away, but he was on the road recruiting for basketball. And so he came and we just hit it off right away. And we just knew that this was the person we were supposed to be with. And again, I see God's hand all over that because neither one of us had any interest in ever getting married. And then we took one look at each other and said, yeah, never mind. So a year later we were married and things were so great when we were dating. So great. I just was at the top of the world. And right after we got married, it was like the bottom crashed out because I started to realize that there was a lot of baggage I was bringing into this marriage that I never really told Saul about. And it's interesting because, you know, you can put on that brave face and you can do the next right thing and you can make the next right choice to build the life you want to build. But if you don't take some time to stop and truly make peace with who you are and your purpose on this earth, I think that sometimes that baggage will stick with you. It becomes like a tar in your lungs. And that's really what I felt like. So 10 years ago, after I had been married to Saul for, you know, I don't know, 10 years, we had three small kids and, I felt like life was passionless and pointless, very mundane. I tried working. I tried not working. I was really resentful that he had a job as a college basketball coach and he got to go and stay in hotels and got to go out to eat with the team. And, you know, he's going to like buffets in the middle of nowhere. And yet it still seemed better than staying home with the kids. And so basically I was just really depressed and I was on antidepressants, but they weren't really doing anything for me. So I ended up just self-medicating. I was a drinker, a smoker, an overeater, angry at my husband all the time. And I ended up going in that sort of state of mind to the Fargo public pool. We were living in Fargo, North Dakota. So in the middle of the summer, I went to the pool. I had an interaction with a young woman who ended up being a young mom. And something in that interaction just lit my insides up. I was finally in that moment able to take my eyes off of myself and put them onto someone else and what someone else's struggle might look like. And so that really to me was the turning point. It was as if kindness in that moment allowed me to see things differently. Because I gave her a little bit of money, you know, enough to put gas in her car, take her kid out to McDonald's. But she gave me just this new perspective on life, really. And so I started writing about kindness and I ended up with a weekly newspaper column that ran in North Dakota and Minnesota. And it was called Kindness is Contagious. And I asked people to send in their stories of kindness, things they had done and how it made them feel, or times when kindness showed up just when they needed it. And within a year of writing that column and really having to be intentional about looking for kindness and being the giver, being the receiver, being the witness of kindness, I had totally quit drinking, quit smoking, lost 30 pounds, re-fell in love with my husband, who I do adore. He's a really great guy. And, you know, the entire climate of my home changed because I, as the mom, stopped having temper tantrums and pity parties. And I absolutely give credit to kindness for that. So that is how I became in love with kindness. And then this past spring, I was having some mental health issues. I was just really, really down. And I just felt God whisper to me, like, you need to take a break. You need to stop. And so I took the entire summer of 2021 off. And when I came back in the fall of 2021, I knew that there was one major change I wanted to make. And that was this podcast. I knew that I wanted to be able to say the way that God had shown me kindness, and I wanted to be able to share that with you. And so thank you for joining us for season 5 of the Kindness Podcast. I am so very grateful that you would give us your time. And I really want to make sure that you don't miss a single episode of the Kindness Podcast. So if you would subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or Google, that would mean so very much. And if you know someone who could use a little extra kindness in their life, let them know about the Kindness Podcast. We are going to hear about how to win a car on The Price is Right, as promised. But first, more about our sponsor. You know, and who better to tell you about United Faith Mortgage than my Aunt Mary, because she likes to tell it how it is.
Hey, Auntie Mary, you could keep eating, but I got some questions for you.
What?
Okay, first of all, do you prefer to own your own home or to rent?
Own my own home.
Okay. Do you like working with big businesses or maybe just dealing with a couple dozen team members?
I liked local. Oh, I can't say that.
No, you can't say local, but you can say, try again. Do you like working with big business or just a couple dozen team members?
Couple dozen team members.
That's much better. And do you like the names Denise and Barbara?
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They sound like nice people, right?
Not as nice as a Mary.
Oh, Mary. Yeah, Aunt Mary is much nicer. Yeah. But, you know, if you can't get Aunt Mary, then you can have Denise or Barbara. That's right. Who you're probably going to talk to when you call United Faith Mortgage. I am so grateful to them for their kindness in sponsoring the Kindness Podcast, keeping us on the air. Super cool. Faith and family is at their core. It is why they choose to be a partner with this podcast, and specifically why they advertise on faith-based stations and podcasts across the country. So you want to have personal one-on-one, this limousine service type of care, then you want United Faith Mortgage. Just a couple dozen team members run by a father and son, John and Ryan. And if you call, you're probably going to get Denise or Barbara. And no middleman, not for you. Nope. You like the middleman, Aunt Mary?
No.
No, Aunt Mary doesn't like the middleman. Okay, there you go.
And we're back with the show. Remember, I told you I'd share a story about The Price is Right? Well, here we go. So I was heading to LA for an appearance on the Hallmark Channel's Home and Family show. And I was taking a couple of my team members with me. And I thought, I want to do something totally iconic for LA and free. And so I looked online and I found free tickets for The Price is Right. And I thought, this is going to be fantastic. This will be, you know, Bob Barker Theater. We're doing it. So we get matching t-shirts and we head to the Bob Barker Theater. And as we are being seated, the three of us are placed in the audience where we're meant to sit. Now, backing up a little bit, I had been watching The Price is Right like crazy because I kept teasing my husband, telling him I was going to go to LA and win a car on The Price is Right. And he kept saying, yeah, sure you are. I was getting real good at the games, at least as I was watching them on TV. So the host comes and sets us, you're going to sit here and you're going to sit there. And they do that with everyone in the audience. We sit down and this man behind me leans forward and he said, you know, they're going to call you up. And I said, what? How do you know that? And he goes, I just know. He said, my sister was here yesterday and she actually won a car on The Price is Right. I'm like, what? No way. So they had come back the next day just to watch. So then this man's mother, in very broken English, she said, I'm very good with numbers. I thought, what is happening right now? And I just kind of giggled and I said, okay, well, you're the one I'm going to be looking at. What's your name? And she said, it's Maria. And I said, okay, Maria, I am looking at you if they call me up. When all of a sudden, Nicole Phillips, you're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Come on down, you know. And I went absolutely crazy and my mind just went blank. So I'm down on contestants row and they show us this camera. And I'm looking at the camera and I'm thinking, $1,000. Yeah. Okay. Look it back up at Maria. And Maria is doing the 1000. So $1,000. Okay, good. Well, wouldn't you know, the person right before me bids $1,000. And I'm like, now what do I do? Like, I didn't have a plan B. So I look back up at Maria and I'm like, what do I do? And she says 1,001, kind of spells it out with her hands. And I just shook my head, no. And she shook her head, yes. And I shook my head, no, because that's so mean, like, to outbid somebody by $1. And so I did it. I did the mean thing and I bid $1,001. But I said, Drew Carey is the host, and I said, Drew, I hate to do this because it seems so unkind, but $1,001. And then, wouldn't you know?
$1,215.
That's it. And I go running up on stage and I am jumping up and down. I run over and I just give Drew Carey the hugest hug. And, you know, he's about to fall over because I just ran into his arms. So we start playing this game, and the game that they have me playing is any number. And they show me what I might win. And so the first thing they show me is this laptop computer. And, you know, they're talking about how it's a nice laptop, blah, blah, blah. And then the announcer says,
if you think you feel guilty after that, oh, you're going to feel so bad when you check out your brand new car!
Like, this was the whole reason I came. I saw that car and I was like, oh my gosh, like, could this really be happening to me right now? And, you know, I'm not able to really put a coherent thought together. So all I'm doing is looking up at Maria and I'm just thinking to myself, like, nothing, absolutely nothing, which, you know, honestly, is kind of the way that I feel like God kind of wants us to come to him, whether we have big ideas or no ideas or bad ideas or whatever, like just come to him. So I kept looking at Maria. So I'm looking at Maria, and each time we put a number in, I wasn't nervous. I was excited because I really felt like as I kept my gaze on Maria, that she was going to make this happen somehow, even though it's a hard game.
Now we have 10 empty spaces, 10 numbers, 0 through 9. You're going to put one number in each space. Whatever you fill in first, that's what you win. It's a nice computer, but we really want you to win the car. And, you know, avoid the piggy bank.
It's going to go in one of the three slots. It's either going to be the car or the computer or the piggy bank. And at the end of the day, you know, I might not be taking home the car. But that really never occurred to me because Maria was helping me. But of course, before it was technically mine, I was going to have to win it fair and square. Okay, so there's the car, there's the laptop, and there's the piggy bank, which is basically nothing. And so we start to play the game, and right off the bat, things are looking really good.
Give me a number of the price of the car.
Three,
please. Yep, right at the end. Good one. Got the last number.
Okay.
But as the game went on, I started to kind of fill up the other numbers really quickly.
Oh, $7! You're at least going to win $7.
I'm scared now. Like, when I watch the video now, I'm like, oh, no.
Four, please. Let's get a car number in there. No!
Am I going to win? Like, I know the answer, and I still get nervous that I might choose the wrong number. So, okay, I'm thinking we can make this a reality.
Nine,
she says. Nope.
Oh, no. So, picture this. I can either win a laptop, a car, or, like, $7. Every single one of those is just one number away from being filled up. My chances were not so good, but I look to my new friend, Maria. You know, everyone is screaming out numbers. And I'm thinking Maria says a number, but she says a different number. And so I say the wrong number and it goes, you know, not to the car. So then we get to the final point where there's just one number left. I have one shot at winning this car. And I look to Maria and I realize I had said the wrong number last time. And she's shaking her head at me and telling me, no, it's an 8, 8, 8. And so I start yelling.
8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8 for sure.
8 for sure, she says. Here we go. Let's see an 8.
And then it happened.
Yes.
And I am jumping up and down and I'm dancing and I'm running to the car and I'm like, oh, thank you. And I just couldn't even believe it. I called my husband after the show and I remember saying to him, hey, hon, I won a car and the price is right. And he's like, you did not. Totally didn't believe me. I'm like, no, seriously, I won. And he's like, Nick, I cannot believe it. Because the backstory of this is my husband was about to lose his job and he's a basketball coach and his contract wasn't renewed. And so we were going to be down to one car in the family, and without a job, it's pretty hard to buy a new car. So the fact that God had provided that way for me to go and do something incredibly fun and win, my husband just was awestruck by the care that God took in us in that. And as I look back and I reflect on that time of looking at Maria and trusting Maria just with everything I had, I just knew if I kept my eyes on her, it would be okay. And I feel like that's how I wish I looked at God every day. And that's how I try to look at God every single day. Like if I just keep my eyes on him, it doesn't matter how chaotic the world is. It doesn't matter how much turmoil there is. If I keep my eyes on him, it's going to be okay. It's going to be better than okay. I just absolutely felt the presence of God through Maria and the gift of this car and through this amazing experience. So if anybody wants to learn how to win a car on The Price is Right, I'm your gal. I'm Nicole Phillips. This episode of the Kindness Podcast is a product of Northwestern Media, a ministry of University of Northwestern, St. Paul. Do you know someone who could use a little extra kindness in their life? Let them know about the Kindness Podcast. Like and subscribe at Apple, Spotify, and Google. Once again, many thanks to our sponsor, United Faith Mortgage, which, by the way, has a bit of fine print.
Hey, Aunt Mary, you like the fine print?
No.
Why not?
Because I can't see it.
Okay, I'll read it to you. Here's a fine print. United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York, licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org, corporate NMLS number 1330, equal housing lender, not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, what? And Utah.
I hope your day is filled with kindness. Thanks for listening.